Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. A couple towns over, there's an alt-universe podcast called Poop Kids, but you know what? I don't need to know what's going on over there. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
And I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
That's right. Our own Harry Mackin is regrettably out on assignment this week. We wish him all the best as he supports his very famous sister at a very cool convention. Maybe stay tuned for that. Word on the street is that she killed her presentation. She absolutely crushed it, which is very cool for her. But cool for us, this episode was produced by our super producer, Butterscotch Lad, aka Jason Daphnis, who you can find on Twitter and Nintendo Doofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. Podcasting reviews that are lambasting, new comments on Instagram. Most guests are from Emily's fam. There's hardly a price to pay. It's preferable this way. Nostalgia for you and me. We spell kids with a Z. Also with us today is a very special guest. She's an elite scholar. She's a runner. She's a track star. Please welcome back to the show, Hannah Borenstein. Hannah, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and I gotta say that was really beautiful. And I'm excited. I think today I'm really gonna get to put on my anthropology hat and bring in a little theory to one of these episodes.
Ooh, dropping spoilers for the ep. I love it. I'm inclined to think you're correct about that. It should be noted we are here to talk about episode 90 of Hey Arnold, and for those of you keeping track at home, that is season 5, episode 10, going by production code order, double digit episode for season 5. Getting spooky out there. We're going to start, though, with episode A, which is called Arnold Visits Arnie. Original air date, January 26, 2001. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Arnold visits his cousin, Arnie, whose friends look remarkably familiar to Arnold's. Arnie's flirtatious girlfriend, Lulu, who looks like Lila, takes a special interest in Arnold, while Arnold falls for a kind girl named Hilda, who looks like Helga, and who likes Arnie. You got that? There's going to be a test. And shouting out the folks who made this episode possible, Christine Kolosoff directed this episode, and Michelle Lamoureux wrote it. So a solid crew. Shoutouts to them. Shoutouts to us. Shoutouts to you. Let's dig in. Emily, we'll start with you. What did you think about Arnold visiting Arnie?
Thank you for asking, Cody. First of all, I noticed the intro in this one seems to be different than it's been in the past. It's like digitized like these newer season 5 episodes. But also this maybe was the case even in season 4. I'm not sure. I just wanted to make a note of it because I noticed it in this one. But for this episode, so we have basically an entire episode which is just an Arnold nightmare sequence. And it's pretty unhinged. It's pretty crazy. I think the beginning is a nice little look too at the kids playing out on Gerald Field, and they're all going, "Oh man, Arnold, you gotta hang with that cousin. We remember your weird cousin, Arnie. You know, no one could really get along with him. No one knew how to interact with him the last time he was in the series." And Arnold, the eternal sunshine, optimistic boy wonder, says, things weren't that great last time he visited, but that doesn't mean that it won't be better this time, which I just wanted to commend that optimism because, wow, is it something? But yeah, so then he goes home, lays down, and I think the episode does a pretty good job, too, of making it clear that this is a dream sequence because we don't see him, like, get up and then go It goes straight into he is now in the middle of the country and Arnie's picking him up. So in this nightmare sequence, all sorts of crazy shit goes down. We have the fake Lila, who is Lulu, calling Arnold a city boy and basically spending the entire nightmare seducing him, which I think is pretty fascinating. She's acting a lot different than Lila IRL, who really likes Arnold's cousin Arnie in real life. And we see some alternate versions of the other main characters. So Stinky is Stumpy. I don't know what they called Phoebe, but they're like completely reversed personalities. Gerard and Kid for Gerald and Sid also have reversed each other's personalities. And then there's Harry instead of Harold. And I don't know what they called Rhonda. I missed that part too, but some like troubling and odd switcheroos for the nightmarish versions of all of these friends of his. And then Hilda, who is the most closely resembling Helga. I think she's the most similar to her, the character in real life. But she's sitting there on the sidewalk and reciting poetry to the full moon. And the main difference that she has in this nightmare sequence is that she's like full of hope and kind. but she otherwise, you know, is doing her poetry, which is true to life. And she has big feelings, but they are for weird cousin Arnie, unfortunately. And so I think it's quite the nightmare sequence. It's quite the episode. I think it's a cool look at Arnold processing his feelings. He's got, you know, these unrequited crush feelings for Lila, who likes his cousin in real life. And then we have Helga, who I feel he realizes is has some weird feelings towards him. He probably recognizes by now, but at face value, she's like a bully to him and, you know, stalks him, crosses his boundaries, all of those types of not so good things. So, I think it's a nice way for him to process those feelings. And I really like his cute little bear pajamas at the end and how he's so relieved that that nightmare wasn't real, as am I. But I've gone on long enough and I want to kick it to Hannah, Hannah, Bobana, Banna, Hannah.
Thank you. That's how I ask my students to address me as well. So I appreciate you following suit. I think that's such a good start, and especially like the Arnold's optimism. Like if only we could all bring that optimism every time we have to go visit our families, like that everything's going to be fine. Really, really commendable. I love this episode. I love both of them. I they're some of my favorites, as evidenced by the fact that I feel like I bullied Emily into making me be a guest on this one. But part of it's just that like it's such a weird episode. Like it's so dark and it's so strange and there's so many like, yeah, these parallel universes coming into play. So one of the people on my doctoral committee who will definitely not listen to this podcast, Charlie Pio, but he'd be very proud if he did. He used to always talk about this idea in symbolic anthropology, which is that like there used to be this idea very much in fashion in like the 80s and 90s where these anthropologists would go and they'd record these rituals. And they were noticing that a lot of people or cultures and societies would have these ritual moments where they would engage in what were called symbolic inversions. So they would act out sort of the opposite ranking in a society. So like the women or the impure subjects would be the sacred individuals in some kind of ritual. And at first anthropologists were like, what the hell is going on? This doesn't cohere with like what's happening in practice. And I feel like it's like applicable to this episode because what it actually does is it coheres your sense of what is comfortable. And there's a lot going on here, right? Because Arnie is a member of Arnold's family, which is a very contested subject for Arnold that we don't get to see him engage with in serious ways that often. So I think him going to visit his family is very much like an emotionally loaded thing, even though he feigns this kind of optimism, or he perhaps really feels it, but we see his like kind of perhaps subconscious coming up in this dream. I think that's like what the dream is meant to indicate, is that Arnold is actually thinking about these things. But I feel like my read of this episode is that he ultimately needs to reaffirm the fact that his friends, the ones that he tells he can't play baseball with, are his family and they're his sense of support. And so I think he has to like engage in this thought experiment of what were to happen if all of these people were the absolute opposite of what they actually were. And then he does that, and it's nightmarish and terrible, as you said. It's also this like interesting moment of leaving the city and going to the countryside and in this place that he's totally unfamiliar, in order to sort of come back and realize that like by doing this inversion, he can reconstruct and feel much at home. So it's an interesting episode because there's not the characters, both Arnold's friends and the parallel universe versions of them, don't do that much other than be caricatures of themselves or the opposite. It's really just Arnold sort of sifting through all of these dynamics and relationships. And then he kind of comes back and he has this like sort of Wizard of Oz moment where he's like, you were all here. You're all here all along. And yeah, I love the next episode we'll discuss too, but this is really one of my favorites just because I think it's like, Hey Arnold kind of at its weirdest. And I appreciate the creators for like going there and getting kind of dark and scary with it.
I agree with that completely. I really like what you both had to say about this episode. And first and foremost, most importantly, yeah, very jarring thing about this episode. The main difference that I noticed for me, it had that Nickelodeon orange splat above Hey Arnold. I don't think we've had that in any episode yet. It's and then that's a good tone setter for this Lynchian nightmare of an episode that we watched. No, it's great. I love how unhinged this episode is, and that's a descriptor we've thrown around on this show in episodes past. I don't think any of them really come close to this. Recency bias maybe feeding into that a little bit, but everything that you're talking about, Hannah, really, really bringing in the academics in the way that I cannot. But I agree that, I mean, this episode relies so much on our understanding of these characters up to this point, both visually and from the personalities. And like, we get that sort of like, before I remembered what this episode became, I thought it was really nice and cute that up top, like every, we basically go down the batting order of the characters and everybody has like a little quip at the baseball field. And I was like, oh, that's nice. We get to hear a little bit from everybody this episode. And then it was like, all that is to set the table for like these, twisted inversions, that we get of these characters later on. But in order for that to land, the show needed to have succeeded in the 89 episodes up to this point in establishing very strong and well understood characters. Otherwise it would not stand out to us nearly as much that, oh, there are characters named Rhoda and Harry and like they feel kind of familiar, but not really. Like, that wouldn't hit the mark nearly as much. So that's, I don't know, this at the same time feels a lot like, for that reason, kind of like a flex episode, which we haven't really gotten in a while, where Craig and friends are just like, yeah, we've really accomplished a lot with this show. Here's this wild, unhinged episode that like informs that, for all of the aforementioned reasons. But no, that's the other really good point that you brought up, Hannah, like the fact that this is a tough thing for Arnold to like reconcile with. And that is the foundation of like this thought exercise that he's going through. I loved that all of like his support system, his effective, his family, like this group of friends that he has, like they were all dunking on Arnie at the start of the episode. Which is like, on one hand, it feels very nice to have that sort of unanimous collective understanding of like, yeah, this guy's a weirdo, Arnold. Like, he may be your blood. But this like dude, like the Helga's doing an impression of like his snort, like everybody's on board, which just like feels, it feels nice to me, the viewer, who's not necessarily on Team Arnie, but at the same time, having that sort of being tethered to, like, at the end of the day, Arnold is still related to Arnie by blood. Presumably, I don't know what the short man family tree looks like to a T, but, yeah, like a already like a lot further beneath the surface than I would have anticipated with this episode, but how it all makes for something really bonkers and really awesome. One of my favorites of the season at the very least so far, maybe the entire series.
Yeah, I think I love that too. I think it makes me feel like there's so much more about his friends as family. That makes me want to like go back and kind of rewatch. And I think your point about just like that you have to understand these characters so well and what they mean to Arnold on such a real level for this episode to make any sense. Like it had to happen in like a later season. If it happened in season one, it wouldn't really make sense. And yeah, I just think there's so much there. I do sort of love, yeah, that the fact that they're all like dunking on Arnie, who is his family, and he feels protective of that. But like sometimes when you have a bad family member, you like need your friends, your chosen family, to be like, no, they suck. Like, watch out. They don't have their best interest in mind for you. So I like that, like that tension is there, and it makes Arnold seem more foolish than anything else.
Yeah, totally. One of the components of this, again, this absolutely nightmarish journey that Arnold goes on, that, I mean, a lot of the sort of things that we're talking about allow for us as viewers and Arnold as a character to contextualize and recontextualize, like our understanding of the people on the show up to this point. I guess for us as well, like doing this thing that we do each week, I found myself gravitating towards some things that in previous episodes, like, I mean, in even as recently as this season, that felt not kosher or like ill-advised as far as like the way they were deployed. I'm thinking particularly here about the love, oh boy, like quadrangle that's going on between Arnold, Arnie, Lulu and Hilda. I barely got through that Wikipedia plot summary alive. kind of a nightmare to like rehash out. It's easier to digest when you're seeing it, but when the show, and we've commented in the past before how the show runners and writers seem to want to get into more of the like cutesy sort of like kid romance part, and like aging up is a term that we've used on the show before. All of that feels, I think, better in this episode because the purpose of that sort of, again, that love quadrangle, patent pending on that terminology, it feels like pointedly like satirical or a joke. Like it's really not meant to be. It's like really, really over the top. Whereas like in previous episodes, that like love triangle sort of nature of the character dynamics is deployed much more seriously. Or even if it's not like completely, like deadpanningly serious, it is like something we're supposed to like take a little bit more serious. Whereas something like this, us being in Nightmare Land playing a role in that as well. I don't know. I felt myself like reevaluating it after watching and thinking, oh, this feels a little bit different, like than I maybe would have expected if it were deployed in another episode differently. But yeah, I don't know. Admittedly, part of me is still wrestling with that as well. I don't know. Emily, did you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's a great point because I was also thinking a lot about the aging up of Lulu, especially in the episode. She's basically like seducing Arnold in the nightmare, and she's like tickling him and childish stuff like that. But she also like goes over and tries to smooch him on the mouth. And I think the aging up here works well, like you're saying, Cody, because it is Arnold just like processing all of this and like working through in a dream, as you do, in his subconscious, like how he feels about everyone, and maybe working through, like, I don't know, the fact that he is growing up or will be. And there's a lot that's anxiety inducing about crushes, and especially as they're, I don't know, maybe by this point, eventually going to hit the fifth grade. But grappling with all those feelings in the dream makes a lot of sense, and I think is well done here. And in episodes like Summer Love or something, where we have such a hard time with it because it's just at face value and feels gross when it's they're aged up and they're not in a dream sequence.
Yeah, just to add on to that, it's a brief thing, but my favorite line of the episode is when Lulu tries to kiss Arnold, and he's like, "You can't kiss me. You're dating Arnie, and we're nine." And so it just kind of plays this theme of aging up, where like, yeah, maybe they will make it to fifth grade, probably not. But like, the point is, there's this reminder that they're like they're consciously drawing on like very adult themes, but they're like they have to kind of remind the reader that. They're 9 years old.
Yeah, that's, oh God, I forgot about that line. And I did just rewatch it here before we hopped on just to refresh my memory. And also because I wanted to watch the episode again. And that among like the perpetual, just like, I mean, I don't know, like the actions we see Lulu take in this episode are not necessarily all too different from like, I don't know, like equivalent but different behavior that we see Helga do in different episodes. It's just we have no context for this world, but that should have been writing on the wall for me to remember, because like the first time, or less recently going back and rewatching this, I think I didn't remember it was a dream. I probably should have, because there are a lot of in episode like gestures towards that, the fact that the movie they're watching is literally called oh God, I just had it right here, it's Evil Twin 3 Country Cousin. Like, come on. If it were Evil Twin 2 Country Cousin, I would have done like the Leonardo DiCaprio pointing at the screen. I did not do that this time because it implies that there's a third Evil Twin episode, and we haven't gotten that yet in the show, and I don't think we do, which is kind of a bummer. But yeah, the way, I guess that is me giving me props to Craig and Friends. Why do I keep saying Craig and Friends? Christine Kolosov and Michelle Lamoureux. They have names, darn it. Just like props to them for like integrating things and like jokes and beats that, I don't know, that a dum-dum like me could like interpret as real. But then after the fact, I only feel slightly stupid for being like, oh, well, obviously it's a dream because this episode is unhinged and absolutely ridiculous. It's a nice balance. And we need things like that in life, I think. Hot take.
Yeah, we need dreams and all of that. I was just thinking about how this episode makes me want to have more like full length episodes in someone else's dream. We've gotten some, like especially with Helga, or where she was under at the dentist, kind of where there's longer chunks of the show that are in the dream world, but. How cool it would have been to see some more of that, and not in like an alternate universe flipped versions of characters, like they just did that here and that's good and we don't need another one of those, but just to see, I don't know, grandpa or somebody, grandma, a whole dream of whatever she's got cooking up, what other characters are working on subconsciously would be cool.
We do need that, and SpongeBob did it, and maybe that's why no other, well, I don't know, I guess I haven't really watched a whole lot of children's programming anew following SpongeBob, but the episode where SpongeBob's hopping around to all the characters' different dreams, that's a genius episode. It's so good. We need something like that for Hey Arnold. I don't think we're going to get it, but one can dream. That Pataki family series, Craig, we know you're listening, maybe include the dream hopping episode in that series. We'll write it for you. There are probably loads of better options than us, but we would love to be considered. Any other thoughts about this episode? The one that, and I said it off mic, I just have to express it. The Gerard and Kid, Sid and Gerald swaps. Sid's doppelganger being drawn like Gerald, just really, I did not. This is an uncomfy episode for a lot of reasons. That one in particular just, really hit me in a bad way. I do like all the voice actors having fun, like taking on different personalities. Harry donning a Rhonda-esque intonation as he's talking to Rhonda's doppelganger, Rhoda, was really funny. I hope they all had fun with this. It seems like they did. They deserve to have fun. They really brought it. It was a lot of fun. What about y'all? Did you have fun? What was fun?
I'm having fun right now, tell you that much.
Great.
I'm going to shout out what Hannah just wrote in the chat, which is that it must have been a wild day in the studio for all those voice actors playing their alternate versions. That's a great point. I would like to not throw shade, but I would like to shout out just again the cute little bear pajamas. But when Arnold blushes at the very end, it's really adorable. And I like that the characters are like, Arnold, you're being kind of weird. You're being kind of eccentric, dude. And he's like, oh, yeah. And he blushes and he's just like so happy he's not in that nightmare anymore.
This is probably not worth saying, but I do think it's very funny that at the beginning of the episode that he's like, I can't play with you because I'm going to visit my cousin Arnie. But then he's like at home going to bed. Like, like, why didn't he play with them that afternoon? I guess he couldn't. It's just kind of like this funny thing where he has to, like, I get why they need that as the exposition, but then he has to, like, go home and, like, mentally prepare is my, like, very suspicious reading of what he does.
That's such a good point. Yeah, that's, wow. Like, oh yeah, let's audit this just a little bit. We got time. He goes to tell his friends that he can't play baseball because he's got to go visit his cousin, only his cousin. We never see Arnie's parents, Arnold's aunt, uncle, other distant relatives. That'd be more work on the animation team to do, like, I don't know, inversions of Pookie and Phil, perhaps. In any case, yeah, then he goes home, goes to sleep, has the dream, then wakes up, then, like, goes back. Yeah, like, the presumably my initial watch, I was like, oh, he, like, dreamed everything that we saw up to this point, including him going down to the baseball field to tell them that he couldn't play today. But the episode seems to suggest that he slept, like, in his bed overnight, because I think Helga says something at the end about, like, oh, I thought you were going to visit Arnie. So that's a very, yeah, you're right. That's a very weird timeline. Weird rationale on Arnold's part. Maybe the worst thing Arnold has ever done. I don't know. I would hate to skip out on the day of baseball, but that's just me.
But good, cool. Continuity error catch.
Yeah, I'm going to submit that to the IMDb trivia section. Put that in the goofs column. 10 people will find that useful. But I hope you all will find it useful when I go guest on the Poop Kids podcast. I actually just got an email while we were recording. They need me over there, so I'm going to do that. Apparently they record from a hayride out in the country, so we'll go see what that's all about. But sit tight, don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after the break. Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We've got episode 90B up next, and that episode is called Chocolate Boy. Original air date, January 26, 2001. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. After winning a bet against Wolfgang, Chocolate Boy wants to give up chocolate after realizing he's willing to be humiliated to get chocolate. Arnold helps Chocolate Boy, realizing chocolate is his coping mechanism when his nanny left for a far, far away place. In parentheses. Delaware, and a bag of chocolate was her last gift to him. I love that summary. And once again, shouting out the folks who made this episode possible. Frank Weiss directed episode B, and the episode was written by Joseph the Purd Man Purdy and Steve the no nickname Vixton. Let's get to some takes. Emily, we'll kick it to you. What did you think about Chocolate Boy?
I love Chocolate Boy. I think he's awesome and a great character. And I was pulling up our Instagram, though, because a listener had commented about a previous episode that made me think about it in this episode, which the listener was talking about Gerald's Game and how that episode, which we didn't talk about on the pod, could have been coded in like a being worried that Gerald maybe would get into gangs or sketchy shit outside of school. And also that is maybe problematic as well, given that he's a black character. But I had not thought about the codedness of that episode at all or what that reading could have been. And brings up a lot of great points with this episode, though, because this episode is very much like coded with addiction. And what is it like to kick a habit, and what is it like to be addicted to something in a way that you like lose self-control over? and it kind of becomes you and is your whole personality. And you need help too to kick that addiction. So even though it's just a little kid who loves chocolate, there's some big implications to his character and to the episode. I don't know that I want to get more in the weeds than I already have there, but things I like about the episode is just the character of Chocolate Boy, I guess. I think he's great, and I really like his line readings when he's, you know, trying to kick the habit, and he's, because basically the premise is that Wolfgang tells him that if he can last 2 weeks without chocolate, he's going to give him a big 10-pound bag of chocolate. And so, of course, Chocolate Boy really wants the glorious 10-pound bag at the end of those 2 weeks. And so he does everything he can to keep his mind off of chocolate. He's under the table at lunch, and he's, like, playing with some soldier toys, and he's, like, muttering to himself, and he's like, I'm trying not to think about chocolate. And then he's outside, and he's got the ants, and he's like, little chocolate ants in a little chocolate wine. He's just doing everything he can playfully to keep his mind off of the one thing that he wants to think about and eat, the most delicious food of all, chocolate. So also we have a Wolfgang moment then, because later on he unexpectedly follows through and actually does give Chocolate Boy the 10-pound bag of chocolate, which I have so many questions about. Like, where did Wolfgang buy all of that chocolate? And did he weigh it out on a scale? Or did, like, the store have a scale he could weigh out 10 pounds worth of it? Or did he buy it literally, like, at the store already like that? Was it already ready to go and he knew about that at the store? Just, like, a lot of questions for him, I guess. But otherwise, so Chocolate Boy gets that bag. Arnold is beside himself because he has followed this 2 weeks story that Chocolate Boy has been going through, but he didn't realize that this was the promise at the end of it, or the reason why Chocolate Boy was trying to kick this habit in the first place. So then Arnold takes it upon himself to, like, really try to help Chocolate Boy, who's addicted in an unhealthy way, to get rid of this habit. And in a way that doesn't make any sense for a kid to be helping someone like this. And it's pretty absurd. This episode's pretty absurd, I would say. But we have Arnold, like, showing Chocolate Boy a slideshow of rotten teeth and all the scary stuff a dentist maybe would have up in the office or something, or in a health class. And very similar to the germs video we saw Sid watching and becoming a germaphobe over in Sid and Germs. So that energy is carrying through strongly this season. But then Arnold's doing hypnosis and all of these things, and the big breakdown at the end where we realize Chocolate Boy has this habit because he misses his nanny so much, and he's sobbing and he can't even believe this. He's never put the two and two together. He's never thought about this. There's all these feelings, a flood of emotion, and he misses his nanny, but chocolate's not going to bring her back. So he is now set to then kick the habit for real and instead get more hooked on radishes as, like, a substitute. But, you know, he does eventually kick the habit, and so props to him, because he is Chalk Boy after all. But yeah, there's a lot to this one. I think it's a pretty absurd episode, as it takes so many big steps for a kid's show into some more serious implications for what could be represented here by Chocolate Boy. And he's a great character. I haven't said that already.
It bears repeating, because he is a really great character, and one who I think we're finally getting into a good rhythm with. This is not the first time he's popped up in season 5. Really good welcome presence. Whenever Chocolate Boy is not on screen, everybody's asking, where's Chocolate Boy? Rightfully so. But Hannah, let's hear what you think about this one. How do you feel about Chocolate Boy?
Yeah, it was just firstly, the question about Wolfgang and where he gets the chocolate was not what I had thought about. It is funny, though. Wolfgang does always sort of seem to have endless amounts of money and resources. He also says to Mickey, like, our usual rate that he's going to pay him to, like, tail Chocolate Boy and make sure that Chocolate Boy is not eating chocolate. So it's kind of like, is Wolfgang, does he have, like, we don't, I wonder if he comes from money or something. but no, I mean, I love this episode. I think it's, like, I think it's really... I remember rewatching it a long time ago, post like childhood, and being kind of taken aback because I don't know. I think it was probably risky for the creators to make an episode that like really is ultimately about addiction and what it takes to overcome addiction. I respect them for that tremendously. And I think when I was watching it, I was like, this is kind of like tongue in cheek and is interesting for adults to watch, but obviously you could see a kid like who has like an addict in their house really sort of resonating, because it's not even like, so Arnold goes to Chocolate Boy's house the first time and he's like, you have to get rid of all your chocolate. And even like the places that Chocolate Boy hides the chocolate, you know, like above the, like, these sort of like really stereotypically, these stereotypical places where people kind of hide their whatever substance that they're abusing. Obviously like things wrap up pretty neatly. The first lesson that Chocolate Boy realizes when he's in the dumpster looking at himself is that he's broken. And then, you know, there's sort of this lesson of like, you can't really recover unless you sort of take it upon yourself to take those steps. But I think the empathy that this episode really portrays is in showing that addiction is incredibly hard to overcome. And you really see Chocolate Boy, even when he wants to break his addiction, really struggling to do so. And Arnold's patience with him. I just think it's like pretty amazing that a children's show did this. And I don't know, like, it'd be interesting to know if parents saw it and were pissed off. I'm sure that there would be some now that would be extremely offended by an episode like this. But I think it does a pretty good job with a pretty serious topic. And yeah, I mean, he takes Chocolate Boy, he does this kind of Clockwork Orange exposure, ties him to the chair, sort of shows these flashy, like, disturbing images of what chocolate can do to your teeth. He takes him to his sauna and, you know, sort of tells him he's a sweat out of the chocolate. And he's like, one of the funniest parts about that to me is that in the sauna that has a name, I wrote it down. It's like Sunset Arm Sauna, somehow is constructed in like their backyard within, you know, a minute. Arnold's like reading from this book, telling him what it quote unquote means. And so it's just sort of, it's comical, like the extent to, and then of course Arnold teaches himself hypnosis in order to sort of break Chocolate Boy. And obviously addictions are not that easy, but there is this underlying component, which is that like you have to figure out the thing that also really the real reason that's contributing to this thing. And they get there. So I don't know, I think it does a really good job kind of taking something in a tongue in cheek way and treating it seriously, like with the seriousness that it deserves while still like keeping it fun. And yeah, giving us Chocolate Boy story.
Yeah, and honestly a lot of that is ultimately why I think I came out like pretty positively with this episode as well. It does, I mean, if anything else, it does fall back on the classic Hey Arnold formula of, hey, it's season one, season two, this is Arnold helping out like a B or C tier character with a problem that they're having, or this is a character that we've seen before. And now we're like going to get at the heart of like what their gimmick is, which happens here. And, you know, I like thinking back and rewatching just a bit ago, this episode, ultimately the episode does come to a sort of conclusion of like, yeah, like Chocolate Boy has this addictive personality, but the kind of lead up to that, I feel like, and I don't know, like disclaimer, I'm not an expert on any of these things. I can only speak on like what I've seen in other shows and movies. The Clockwork Orange reference here being, yeah, like a huge one that plays into the sort of like reprogramming of Chocolate Boy. But it does, it's a mix of, like a lot of, I don't know, like a tough undercurrents and like conversations and like gesturing at all the different places where something like this might come from. Obviously, yeah, like the addictive personality component, the like Chocolate Boy's hyperactivity and the fact that he's like at times seems to be using chocolate or radishes or ants as like a means of funneling his focus, and like that keeps him calm, keeps him level. PTSD and or like depression as well. Like Chocolate Boy's mantra at the end, literally just being, I can be happy. So while the process to us getting to like Chocolate Boy being like rehabilitated with like a kind of winking face at the end with the final notes of this episode, while it does like seemingly gloss over like a lot of those, even if it's just like, you know, references to other works, you know, I do like that this episode did call upon Clockwork Orange, another sort of tongue-in-cheek look at that sort of thing, which we can't talk about Clockwork Orange too much because this is a family-friendly podcast, and that is a story that's very not family-friendly. But like opting for something like that as a means of reprogramming rather than modeling at after Trainspotting, or you know, something where somebody is like works that are sort of known for their portrayals of like individuals going through withdrawals. Trainspotting would also be a tough work to talk about on a family-friendly podcast, so we'll tiptoe past that. But in any case, I like that. I guess what I'm saying is that this episode, I like that it casts kind of like a wide enough net to gesture at all of the like possible things, like giving a little bit of exposure to like all of the sorts of things that may contribute to something like this, whether it's Chocolate Boy or whether it's the person watching or a different character, and like shining a light on those in like the little way that it does. And I think all of that, or a lot of that, is made okay because it's very clear that this, like going back to the empathy that you were talking about, Hannah, it's very clear that the show cares a lot about Chocolate Boy. And Chocolate Boy shows, he does something that not every character on the show does, and that he has a moment where he feels like absolute shame when he realizes that, they're just this group of, 35-year-old fifth graders is, making him, you know, dance for chocolate, like really demeaning him, humiliating him. Like Chocolate Boy feels shame in a way that like a lot of similarly tiered characters on the show have not like visibly, confronted that and have sought out help. And so that was really cool. I like this episode. It's sort of a weird chaser following Arnold visiting Arnie's shot, so to speak. But it's one that I'm really glad we got the exposure to. Chocolate Boy's story deserves to be told, and I'm glad it was.
Indeed, it does. And same, I really like y'all's points about how this episode is such like an empathy builder for. Kids seeing this in real life maybe would see this in their family or in somewhere in school or what have you, an older sibling, and it packages up such a dark and scary, awful thing that happens in the real world and like showcases it in a way that kids can understand and relate to. I liked those points that y'all made, and just wanted to give it the props for that, because also I don't know that a kid's show would do this necessarily these days. I mean, this really goes there, and I agree with Hannah that it maybe wouldn't fly past some programming today.
Yeah, totally. And I think the fact that maybe it was able to fly, not under the radar, because like, we don't know what that process was like. I do agree on that speculation though, Emily, in that, this would, be probably treated differently now and or even at the time, but like from other programs. But the fact that I think they were able to sneak in this is at times like for as somber and as humbling as an episode this can be, it is a very like goofy one also on the surface. The first half being filled with sequences of Chocolate Boy. Again, not like going through withdrawals, but like quote unquote like withdrawal coded, you know, scenarios. It's instead him like seeing chocolate and like thinking about chocolate and wanting to get chocolate and being spooked away by what's his name, Mickey, that weaselly kid from that episode where the fifth graders are putting the fourth graders in garbage. He was also in the Gerald's Game episode. Mickey's Resurgence, the story of season 5 also, I guess. I hope his name is Mickey, but like coding it in that way and like Chocolate Boy still getting into those sorts of shenanigans, and then also shenanigans where it's like, we need to sweat all the chocolate out of you, Chocolate Boy, because that's what science tells me to do, ? I love that Arnold did those sorts of things with authority, but really he's just like, I don't know, making it up. If sweating out chocolate is all that it takes to like, I don't know, cleanse somebody, then like, shoot, sign me up for the chocolate sauna. I don't know. That's, I'll look into that offline. But yeah, I don't know. I liked how goofy this episode was, sort of in the margins.
Yeah, there's something kind of funny about the methods that Arnold uses ultimately, because it is also, I don't think there's like that high level necessarily of a meta critique, but it could be read as a meta critique of like how people have historically like thought about addiction. Like if you could think about just like the history of psychology and probably things that they actually used to try with like alcoholics or people who are addicted to drugs, like, oh, just put them in a sauna for like hours and hours and hours. Like I could totally see that being like, you know, a 1950s, 60s like psychology. So it's kind of funny because in the sauna, again, he's reading like a book about presumably that he like found by on his own at the library that said like overcoming addiction, you know, that was probably like 80, you know, years outdated or whatever. So there's something kind of funny about that too, that he like doesn't know what to do. So he just resorts to these sort of like tired, old medical practices that are like, remind me of like One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest era type, ways of curing addiction, which seemed to work, I guess, in some way for Chocolate Boy. So more power to him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, the Hoomster Wheat. Yeah, feed him vegetables, see if that sticks. But yeah, One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest is not one that I thought about either. That's another sombering cinematic comparison to this, but it checks out. That's, oof, I'm glad they didn't go that route. That this episode would get pretty dark.
Where do we think Arnold learned how to hypnotize people? Like, do you think that was part of his magician's training way back in season 1 or whatever, when he was a magician? Did grandma teach him hypnosis? Did he learn that in the weird old textbook that taught him to put someone in a sauna?
I think you may have answered your own question. When he was a magician back in, are you thinking of the episode where Helga gets knocked unconscious, and meanwhile Arnold's got a magic show that he's doing? Yeah, because he was a magician, a pretty bad one, which maybe he improved his magic between then and now and became really good at hypnotizing people. That's a fair thought.
Yeah, I think that was season 1. And I guess to bring that back to both of these episodes, or ties in the A episode of this, like, in that magician episode, we see an alternate Helga that comes up every once in a while that she like has kind of a nightmare sequence about when she's in the magic show. Anywho, can't think of that name of the episode, but listeners, call us in if you're listening. Let us know. What's the name of that episode?
Name that episode. Also, it was brought up already, the how does Wolfgang have access to all that chocolate? My reaction at the time, initially revisiting this episode, now I'm blanking out on like blonde bowl cut guy who's like Wolfgang's crony, when he's like, oh, I got an idea, you should do this. And then Wolfgang's has, oh yeah, I'll give you 10 pounds of chocolate. I thought he was making that up. I did not expect him to have 10 pounds of chocolate. The fact that he does, yeah, gets into the important question that y'all are bringing up of, is it like a secret Rhonda situation where he comes from a family of means? There's a whole Wolfgang backstory that I'm simultaneously very, engrossed by, but also I don't even know if I need to know that much more about that monster. But maybe we do, who knows?
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm kind of like, who does Wolfgang, like, who does he become? I'm watching Succession, and like, he's so like sadistic and weird. He reminds me of some of the characters in that show, like in the way that he makes Chocolate Boy sort of like dance for him. He has this sort of like, I own the world, like Wall Street, I'm just super rich mentality, where he gets pleasure of like watching others suffer. And I like also agree. I'm like, I kind of want the backstory. I kind of don't. But I think an interesting question is like, who does Wolfgang grow up to be? Which is kind of scary.
That is frightening. Also, that's a reminder that I need to watch Succession, probably. I just finished, this has nothing to do with anything, I just finished season one of Yellow Jackets, and I'm looking forward to season two starting up soon. A lot of fun sociopathic tendencies on that show. Genuinely very enjoyable. Wolfgang would maybe fit in with those folks. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know for sure. That's up to you, listener. Anything else that we want to call out with regards to this episode? Lingering threads, shout outs, anybody, I don't know, Emily, have you seen Succession? Any of the above, any and or all?
I haven't seen it yet, but I'll add it to my TV watch list, which is always growing. And yeah, TV is great. I love TV. I was going to shout out when Chocolate Boy's looking in the mirror, and this is when he needs help real bad towards, midway through the episode. He's looking in the mirror and he sees himself turn into a fudgesicle, with sad little crying puppy dog eyes, and he's just staring right back at himself, but as a fudgesicle. So props and shout outs to that animation idea.
I would just shout out Emily's question. I love the question of how does Arnold learn hypnosis? And it makes me realize that I should be asking myself more questions like this. Like, how does Arnold learn XYZ thing? As a way of both kind of referencing past episodes and just thinking about the kinds of characters that would have these kinds of skill sets that we don't see because we only see part of their lives. So I think it's a really good thought experiment to think about just like how Arnold gets his skills all the time when he's able to help people.
Wow. And I think this episode and the subsequent podcast discussion were full of great thought experiments. I'm a little biased, but also I'm right. And all that is to say, Hannah, thank you again so much for being here today with us. Where can people find you, and or is there anything that you would like to plug for the folks who are listening?
People can find everything I write and pretty much do on my website, hannahbornstein.com, and I tweet every now and then, inconsistently. All my handles are hbornstein23. Nothing specific to plug, some things in the pipeline, but, nothing super timely, but always a pleasure, always happy to revisit these episodes, and always happy to get access to a Paramount Plus subscription from friends when I don't have one. So thank you very much for that.
No, of course. We're happy. And that is the one thing that we are not as bitter about giving free ad space to, just because Paramount Plus is the only real place where we can watch these right now. So shout outs to Paramount Plus. More importantly, shout outs to Hannah. And also, thirdly, finally, thank you. Shout outs to our listeners. Thank you for listening, dear listeners, for listening. You are listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. And that's kids spelled with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I've been Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey. I also wanted to shout out the very old Animal Collective song, Chocolate Girl. Thank you.
Thank you, Emily. Thank you, Hannah. Thank you, Animal Collective. And remember, it's better to look good than to feel good. Thank you. Stupid.
Poop kids is nightmare fuel. That's funny.
That's the actual nightmare fuel.
That's interesting. It's interesting that we had different reads on that. That I took it to him. You took the whole thing as a dream sequence that I did.
Yeah. The second time I watched, I read it the way that you did. I think it the first time around, it just like fucked me up enough, or like confused me enough, or just like, did he dream everything? I think part of me was wanting an episode where a character dreams everything, because I don't know if we really had
no.
Much
I mean,
of
I think
that.
I think that definitely could have checked out. And then pre episode starting, he maybe told his friends that he was visiting them.
Yeah,
yeah. I think as Emily said, though, is that we're just too good. We catch those continuity errors.
Yeah,
like nobody
nothing
else
gets past us, Craig.
Yeah, he thought
he could sneak that one by us, but little did he know podcasts would really take off, and people spend way too much time thinking about this.